battery case had opened up, so we want to have that turned on, I tell you. It is so good to be here this morning, and I'm just going to be completely honest. Very rarely am I more nervous than on the Sunday mornings than when we have communion. That's probably about the most nervous I get throughout the year, aside from weddings, and I tell you, that can be awful nervous. That's some nerve-wracking. You want it to be just right, you know. You think about it, and I'll be honest, when it comes to the Lord's Supper, I've always been so concerned about the order of it that sometimes that overshadows the meaning of it. And I don't want it to be like that this morning. Sister Kim had mentioned something, and I tell you, I appreciate that in that this morning, the Lord just granted a peace that I normally don't have on the morning that we have communion service. Just thinking about it so often and just trying to prepare myself. We know and understand it's absolutely a solemn time. It's a sacred time, but it's also truly a time of celebration. But if we're not prepared the way we should be, or if we're out of the will of God, or our minds are on something else, we will not appreciate it the way that we should. And I don't want anybody here to miss that this morning. That's the beautiful part of what God was trying to do, what Jesus was wanting to do. You see, he knew what was going to take place the next day, and his disciples didn't. He tried to explain to them. He told them, but they just didn't hear it. And I think sometimes today we don't hear things because our minds are overshadowed with other things that are on our mind, and we kind of look past it. But I don't want us to miss this morning. This is such a wonderful time of unity for our church, the church. You think about what it is, and I was thinking about praying, and I really tried to set apart extra time of prayer this morning and throughout the week, knowing that today was coming, Lord willing. But this morning, as I heard the choir singing, and it was so beautiful. And what I realized when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he told them, this will be the last time we do this together. And what really dawned on me, church, is this could be the last time that this body of people does this together. There could be some that this is your last time to take the Lord's Supper this side of eternity. You ever think about that? And I also thought this morning, church, this could be the entire church's last time to take it before eternity. Think about that. We're not promised another day. We're not promised to make it back till the next appointed time. But what I want to do this morning, the Lord really laid this on my heart, and I said, Lord, if that's what you want, I just want to be obedient this morning. What I'd like for us to do, all that would like to gather around the altar, I'd like for us to have a time of prayer this morning before we even start. I think that'd be the most beneficial thing for us to do. Again, in preparing for the service, a lot of times are we ready? The Bible says to not take it unworthily. But I want to give us an opportunity, even before the message this morning, of those that would like to gather around the altar. We'll have a time of prayer this morning, and I'll invite all that would like to come. Just focusing on being obedient this morning, church. As we pray for ourselves, we pray for our loved ones, we pray for our lost ones. There's so much to be in prayer for. If there's anything hindering, it needs to be out of the way now. Think about those in our church, those around us and family members that are lost. They need our prayers. Father, we just come to you this morning just wanting to be as obedient as we know how to be. God, we want ourselves to be out of the way that your will could be done here today, that your spirit could have free reign. God, as I prayed and prepared, I didn't want to be any part of hindrance in the service, God. And Lord, I just want myself to be out of the way, and I pray that we all come with that same spirit of unity, that same spirit of desire, God, that your will would be done here this morning. God, anyone that's here this morning that's lost, maybe understand the gospel for the first time and come to realize that they're lost, God, and be able to hear the gospel and understand it not only in their mind, God, but in their heart. God, we reflect over what this means this morning, what the communion service is, what it meant to Israel, God, and the Jewish people, and then what it came to me to be and to mean to your church, Lord, the New Testament church, Lord, through your body and through your blood, God, what you made available for us in the body of Jesus Christ, God, we can't overemphasize that, Lord. The gospel should continue to go on in every single way, God, and today this is another memorial service for that, God, and I pray, Lord, God, I pray that there be nothing hindering us here today. God, I pray our hearts would be right, our minds would be right, God, that would be focused on you just for a little while, nothing else, God, that nothing else would hinder or take importance over what we're doing here today. God, that we would do this respectfully, God, we would do it solemnly. We would reflect on our lives and remember, God, what you've done for us. God, I pray also that we have a spirit of celebration about us, God, knowing that it's nothing that we could have done and nothing that we did, God. But all was accomplished on the cross by your precious Son, Jesus Christ, and what he did for us, what he willingly did for us to become the sacrifice for our sin. We know the wages of sin is death, God, but through Jesus Christ, you gave us a way of escape, a ransom. You paid the ransom. And Father, I just thank you so much for that. Lord, I pray you be with every heart here this morning. Help us, God, be with the communion service. We just want you to have the order. We want you to give the order, the will. Just let your will be done here today. God, I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. I appreciate that this morning. I appreciate that response. You will, let's be turning to Luke chapter number 22. Luke chapter number 22. I want to begin there this morning and go through Luke's account here in the Gospels of what took place this night. And then we'll be turning over to Corinthians a little bit later. But a lot was going on during this time in Jesus' life, the life of the disciples, and there was a change getting ready to take place. This is a very pivotal point in history, in Christian history, in church history. As you see, we're transitioning from the law and what it represented and what they had during the Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Passover and what that meant and what that reflected. And then also now looking forward to what the Lord's Supper would become. I think it's so interesting as we've been going through the book of Hebrews on Wednesday night and just looking at all this historical information about Israel and the Jewish people and what the Passover meant to them, what the Passover lamb meant to them, and what they were preparing for this night. They were looking back on what that reflected. And what Jesus did here on this night is he made the Lord's Supper that allowed them to look forward what he was getting ready to do on the cross the very next day. It always amazes me when we read these accounts how that slipped by his disciples, how they didn't understand that. I believe it's later in Luke how they thought on that afterwards. They thought on the words that he said after his crucifixion. That's what he meant. That's what he meant when he said that. It's like it dawned on them. And I'm so afraid that in our fast-paced lives, that's how we live our lives a lot of time as Christians. Sometimes we catch things, bits and pieces that the Lord will give to us, and sometimes later on, maybe in the week, it kind of dawns on us, oh, that's what he meant by that. But you imagine entering eternity and then realizing then that's what he meant by that. He gives us this picture here. He lays it out so perfectly. As you begin in chapter 22, you see here where Satan had entered into Judas and what had taken place there, but he wanted to meet with his disciples one last time. One last time, this side of eternity. They didn't see that. They didn't understand that. In their minds, they were preparing for the Passover and what that represented, but Jesus changed that. We look here in verses number 7 through 14. It says, then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. See, they didn't realize and see and understand that the Passover, Jesus Christ, was getting ready to go to the cross. When he sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare us Passover that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt we that we prepare? They didn't know where they were going to go. And he said unto them, behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house, there he entereth in. And you shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room, furnished therewith, make ready. He already had a place prepared for them to be. And they went, and they found, as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with them. See, in their mind, what they were getting ready to do is just look back as a remembrance of what took place during the Passover when the Lord led them, the children of Israel, the Israelites, out of Egypt. That was a great thing in their history for them to remember, to reflect on. See, they had their back against the wall. They were in a place that they had no answer, no way of escape, and God prepared them a way, and that's what that was about, the Passover. Also thinking about where the blood was placed on the mantle, I will pass over you. Talking about if the blood had been applied when the death angel was going to come through, how he was going to pass over them if the blood had been applied. You see, they remember that, and they think about that night, and all those where the blood had not been applied, they died. That was the penalty of sin. That was the penalty of disobedience. And as they're preparing this, they're remembering that night and how the Lord passed over those that had the blood applied. I can't say that enough about how important the blood is. If the blood's not applied, you're not saved. You don't have a way of escape. There's not many ways, there's only one way. The Bible really makes it clear. All these things that we see, even what we see from Jewish history into Christian history, what we see is Jesus Christ is that Passover lamb. He's the only one. He's the only one you and I can trust in. He is the only way. And you see how so many times, how the Lord has provided and taken care of Israel and taken care of them. And you see, that's what was taking place in the mind of his disciples. We're going to celebrate this. You know, what we do sometimes is we get so locked into tradition, we forget what it's truly about, what it truly means. You think about how the Lord has provided for you and taken care of you and how he saved you. You know, that's what should be on our mind this morning. If you're here saved, is how Christ saved your soul, what he did for you. We'll talk about that more here in just a little bit, but we see what was going on somewhat in their minds, and I see really here what takes place in verses 15 and 16, and it really just draws my heart that much closer to what this night meant to Jesus. You know what this morning means to Jesus? It's a time for us to get together and remember him and what he did. It's not about us. We get locked up in us so much, and I believe that's what happened with the disciples. They still had what they had to do tomorrow on their mind. We'll have work on our mind or what's going to take place after church or sometime, but this morning you need to focus on what is taking place right now, and that is Jesus wanting to commune with you. He wants to commune with us this morning. You see how he had the apostles together, and he said, verse 15, he said unto them, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now I would have stopped there probably if I was paying real close attention. What do you mean suffer? What do you mean, Lord, when you say that? You're saying that you want to be with us, but then you place this suffering at the end of that. What does that mean? But they didn't stop to ask, did they? See, a lot of times when we're in church, I think we don't stop and really let things soak in what the message is about, what God is really trying to tell us, what the Lord really wants to relay to us. You know, every single Sunday is important. Every single Wednesday night's important. Every day that God gives to us is important. We take it for granted. We're planning on what we're going to do later. But you see, what Jesus had in his mind, I want us to see this. He knew what his disciples did not know, and that was that he was going to die the very next day. And he knew how that was going to affect his disciples. And his disciples, they hadn't even thought about that. You imagine if this was the last Lord's Supper that you were going to take and you knew that. Would that change today at all? Would this be any more special to you if you knew that today? See, Jesus was the only one that knew that. This is the first Lord's Supper instituted for his disciples, and it's almost like their minds were just kind of all over the place, and he's trying to bring them together. You know, that's what this is about this morning. Us as a church coming together because the Lord wants to show us something. He's desiring to meet with us this morning. I'll tell you what, as important as this is for the saved people this morning, this is a witness to the lost people this morning. Before I was saved, and I used to be scared to death when I saw this at the front of the church. I'm like, oh no, it's that Sunday. I don't know what that means. I don't understand that. Some people can have it and some people can't have it. I don't understand why I can't have it. I didn't understand for many years. I was saved when I was 12, but I didn't understand what it meant and why I couldn't partake of it. So I was afraid of it. We're afraid of what we don't understand. But as we gain a better understanding of what this is about, I want us to maintain that seriousness about it, but I want us also to have that celebration of what it means. I don't have to go to hell because of Jesus Christ. Well, that's a time of celebration for me. When the silverware comes out, that's a time of celebration. But what Jesus was trying to do on this night was bring them together. He desired to have this. He knew the next day they were going to be scattered. Their hearts were going to be broken. Our Savior is gone. Our leader is gone. What do we do? And they didn't know that was going to happen, but Jesus did. He wanted to bring them together and give this resemblance of what this night, this occasion meant to him. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And look here at verse 16. For I say unto you, I will not anymore eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. This being the first Lord's Supper, he's saying this is the last one that I'm going to have with you. Again, a second time, and the disciples didn't say, Jesus, what do you mean by that? Nobody asked him where he was going. What do you mean? He talked about his suffering. He talked about his departure until this happened later in the kingdom of God. And what you'll see later on, in some of the other Gospels, what they were actually talking about was who was going to sit at his right hand. Lord, how much power am I going to have in your kingdom? You see where their mind was at? I understand you're going to be the king and we're going to be there in your kingdom together. How much power am I going to have in your kingdom? Boy, I tell you, they missed it, did they not? How often do we miss it in church? How often? Our minds are on something else, something of the world. Maybe other things of importance, but I can tell you this morning, there is nothing more important than the desire that Jesus has to sup with you here this morning. There's nothing more important than that. That's what he wanted to have here on this night. You know, that's what this represents every single time we do this. This is a time we come together and remember what Jesus Christ did for us. We should remember that every day. I think it's beautiful how the Lord doesn't put a restriction on how often that you do it. Just as often as you do it, we'll see what he says here. But he had a desire, and he said, I will not do this with you until we do it again in my Father's kingdom. Did you know, and I've said this before, but I want us to understand this, from that night, the next time that the Lord's Supper is taken with Jesus himself, if you're saved, you'll be there. Now you think about that. You're talking about taking the Old Testament all the way into the New Testament in the church age and putting those things together, and Jesus Christ is at the center of it. This was the last time he partook of the Lord's Supper, his supper. The next time, if you're saved, you get to partake in it. You think about that with Him. With Jesus Christ Himself, the one that we're here to celebrate this morning, the one that we're here to remember this morning. But yet they didn't ask. You see here in verses number 17 and 18, these two verses, it said, and He took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. He said, take this and divide it. You know, when I see that sharing like that, take this and divide it out, that gives everybody an equal part. Everybody here has an equal part in the ministry. Everybody. Everybody is to take part. It's a unifying thing. We all have a part in His work. He gives that to us. He wasn't excluding anybody. So take this and divide it. Take this, give this to everybody. Everybody get some. There is enough for everybody. This entire earth, there's enough of Jesus Christ for everybody. Some people might not see it that way, but it's the truth. Some people might try to mock and make fun of it, but it's the truth. Jesus divided it out. In verse number 18, for I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. He's telling them again, this is the last time we're going to do this together, this side of eternity. And yet their mind was, where am I going to be in your kingdom? Where am I going to be? And we're focusing on what it meant this night. Verse number 19, it says, and He took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me. You see, even at that time, I don't think they were thinking about what that meant. You know, when you take bread and you tear it apart, it's just ripped apart. I see the semblance, Brother Allen, in what he's saying here. He break that bread, he ripped it apart. Not one bone of His body was broken, but His flesh was ripped apart. I want you to think about it like this, and again, not trying to be sensational or graphic or what have you, but there's a lot of ways that a person can die. But even from stoning into the crucifixion, when I think about death, I think about one of the worst ways that a person could die would be to be beaten to death. Torn apart, literally torn apart. With whips, with staves, being beaten, being hit, just absolutely just ripped apart. We've seen too much TV and things where it's desensitized us and everything like that. But you think about that. Jesus knew the very next day that is what was going to be taking place to His body. And He just tried to pull everybody together. He knew what it was going to do to them. He knew what His body was going to face. But He was going to be ripped apart for our sins. And He was saying, this bread that I give unto you, that's what this resembles. And you're to take it and to eat it. You're to take it. You're to understand it. You know, you look at the physical aspect of it. What He's also saying here, that's what we do spiritually. When we take this, this is not physically taking the body of Jesus Christ. This is a resemblance of that. This is symbolism of that. That we understand and we see and we realize what Jesus did for us in His body. And we take it in spiritually by faith. We trust that. We believe that. Then also what we see here this morning. He said again, in remembrance of Me. Verse number 20, likewise. Also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you. He's saying, My blood that is going to pay the price for your sin is shed for you. I want us to see really what the Lord's Supper represents. You know what it means to me and what it represents is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a celebration of His life. We've been to memorial services and people would say things. You'd be maybe being invited up to say something about your loved one that had passed away and say, this was my relationship with this person. This is how I know this person. This is why me and this person are related or what we have together. But you really think about what this memorial service is about. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know what that is? He's the only one that could fulfill the gospel. You can't interchange Him with anybody else when you're talking about the gospel. Anybody here born of a virgin? Anybody? How many people do you know that was born of a virgin? Anybody? How many do you know? I only know one.
that was born of a virgin, Jesus Christ, conceived by the Holy Spirit, only one. So that really narrows the playing field down, does it not? We're not trying to figure out who these people are. He is the Son of God. He is the only one that was born of a virgin. How many people have lived a sinless, perfect life? Don't raise your hand. You got to watch them, Brother Tim. How many? Nobody would rightfully say that, right? Not a sinless, perfect life. I know one. Jesus Christ, I know one. How many people do you know that has died and have been risen again? And you say, that's where I get you. I'm going to get you there, Brother Dale, because there's been a few in the Bible. How many people laid down their life and took it up again? Let's ask it that way. How many people laid down their life and took it up again? Can you do that? Can you lay it down and take it up again? Can you do that? Do you know anybody else that can do that? There's only one that can do that. There's only one. And you know, I think about this, and Sister Dorena, I saw that post the other day. I saw that. I don't fully know the people. I know one partially and kind of talked to them before, but you know, they were making fun of the rapture, making fun that they were safe from the rapture, making fun like it was a hoax, like it's not going to happen. Can I tell you, on the authority of God's word, that one day Jesus Christ is going to come back, that same Jesus? I only know one that can do that, and that's Jesus Christ, and he's going to come back. It's not going to be funny. But you know, Sister Dorena, I'm saved through the rapture. I'm not saved from it, but I'm saved through it because of Jesus Christ. When he comes, I get to go back with him. That's the gospel. If you don't have that, if you don't believe that, and you don't know that he is the only begotten Son of God, then you've not accepted him. You have to know that. You have to know that in your heart. You have to believe it. You see, that's what this represents here. This is talking about, that's what this communion service is about. It's not only just about the sad things and the hard things that Jesus Christ has already done for us, but it's talking about what he's going to do, and that's come back for us. You remember what he said there again? He said, I'll not do this until we do it in my Father's kingdom. See, that's a future reference. He didn't say it was all over. He didn't say it ends here. He didn't say it ends at the cross. He said, we're going to do this again in my Father's kingdom if you accept me. That's what he's saying. You see, that's what's so blessed about this. We shouldn't be afraid of it, but we should reverence and we should appreciate what this means this morning. Not just being so afraid of it that we don't want to partake in it. I think so much about what the Lord has done for me. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. I'll try to hurry along this morning. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23. We'll start with 23 and we'll go from there. This is Paul giving the account of what the Lord had given to him. You know, there's two ordinances, as has been mentioned this morning, there's two ordinances that we in the Baptist faith that we observe. That's following the Lord in baptism, not in that it saves you, but it's a symbolism of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We also observe the Lord's Supper, not in that it saves you, but it's a semblance, a resemblance. It shows an example of what the gospel is. When you believe on Jesus Christ, you follow him in the Lord's baptism, and then you also can partake in the Lord's Supper. You've actually taken part. You've, by faith, believed in him, what he's asked you to believe. And then as a memorial service, as a remembrance service, you get to partake of it. You know, if you were here this morning and lost and you partook of the Lord's Supper, you know that wouldn't save you? Wouldn't do a thing for you. If you're here this morning and you're lost and we went back here in the baptistry and I baptized you, you know what? That wouldn't do a thing for you. It's just a resemblance, an ordinance. You know what an ordinance is? That's an observance. We do that to remember what Christ did for us. It's to remember, again, a memorial service.
The Lord is saying until then, until he comes back, that's what we are to do. It's important that we see that and understand that. Let's see here. We go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 24. We'll start with 23. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." He's portraying what took place. The Lord is the one who gave this to do. The Lord gave this to the church. He gave this for you and I to do as a memorial, as a remembrance. If we're not careful, we'll try to do sacraments or try to do things like that or create some kind of tradition and miss the meaning. He doesn't want us to miss the meaning this morning. He wants us to focus on what that means and what he did for us. "And when he had given thanks, he break it, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Verse 25, "And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying that this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." He's saying, remember me. Remember me. He's giving us an occasion to remember him, to reflect on him. We proclaim our hope in Christ when we do this. When we get together like this, it's not, again, just for a show. There should be something on the inside that when we physically do this, spiritually something goes on and says, you know, this truly is what Jesus did for me in his body. When you take that bread, you think about how he was beaten and bruised for our sins. He was willing to take that upon himself. The wages of sin is death. That means everybody must die. Everybody that sins must die. Everybody. And Jesus, knowing out of his love, he knows, well, Father, they've all sinned. They've all come short of the glory of God. That means they're all going to die. They have no hope. How would you like if that's where it ended this morning? If that's where it stopped? There was no Jesus. You think about it. If there was no Jesus, that's where that would stop. But Jesus said, "I will go and I will die in their place. I will take their punishment in their place so they don't have to. Lord, they can't do this. Father, they can't do this. They can't handle this. But I will go in their place and take it for him." Now that's the person that I want to get to know. That's the person that I want to remember this morning. That's why we're here this morning. Without him, there'd be no reason for us to be here. We proclaim our hope in Christ. Also, 1 Corinthians 10:17. I want us to see this unity here this morning. It says, "For we being many," many different people, "for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." You see, Jesus makes us one in him. I want you to know this morning, you're not too evil, you're not too mean that God cannot save you. I've heard people make reference to things like that, again, jokingly and saying things, "If I ever went to church, the church would catch on fire." No. Jesus died for the vilest sinner. Jesus' blood is strong enough for the vilest sinner. Jesus Christ died for all. He made this a way for every single one of us. We're all in this one body. I was thinking about that this morning. Just I could recall and see your faces as I was preparing this. We get to do this together. This is a time of celebration. Is there anybody else you'd rather do this with than who you see here today? Maybe some others that you'd like to be here, but aren't you thankful for the family that's here? Our church family? I heard somebody say this week that Mount Lebanon really takes the time and effort to do this very special. You know what? I appreciate that. Paul even talks about that, talking about it's not a time for feasting and making fun or joking or just kind of half-heartedly doing. He's talking about taking it serious and remember why we do this. We see here in also verses 26, 27, 28 says, "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, do ye show the Lord's death till he come." I like that promise, until he returns. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. That means if you're not taking it serious, It's important we take it serious this morning. That's why I really wanted us to start with prayer. Get our minds and our hearts focused. But let that man examine himself. And so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. It's a time of reflection. I was thinking back over my life, and me and Brandy, we talk and a lot about things and how things could have been this way or that way. And I use her as an example because most of my life has been with her and the decisions we've had to make together and things like that. And you know, it's just an understanding that you have. But you look over life and you say, if this, then this, if this, then this. And it's just amazing to me the blessings that God has given to us, the protection that He's given to us. I think everybody here, I know that there's hardships and things that's happened in our lives, but if you look over your life, can you truly say that God has been good to you? A time of reflection. There's times that I probably, in myself, I absolutely would have gone a different direction. I would have done a different thing, and the Lord kind of led it. It's something, when you look forward into the future, you can't see it, but when you look back, I see God's hand all over it. I see God's hand of protection. I see this time of reflection. I'm just thankful this morning. Church, I'm blessed. I'm very blessed. You think about how God provides. He doesn't send people where He's not going to protect them and take care of them. There's things that we've experienced we never thought we'd experience. And when I reflect over that, and I'm like, Lord, I didn't see that coming. I didn't know that was going to happen. But you know what? He was there. He took care of me. He provided for me. He provided for my family. He was there. When I reflect over my life, there's a lot of decisions that I wish I hadn't made, but He was there. I think back to that night. I'm going to say this, August 14th. I've got it written down in my Bible. Thank the Lord. August 14th, 1988. I go back to that night, and I think about what it was like to feel that doom of being lost. I had no hope. I had no hope of nothing. I was going to die and go to hell. That was my realization that night. That's what I had. That's what I had to hold on to. But when He saved me, I never could have foreseen this. The blessings that He's given to me. You say, preacher, nothing bad ever happened to you? Yes. But God is still good. Amen? You think about how these things in life take place, and this life is just a vapor. I want us to understand that this morning. This is the short part of eternity. I don't care how long we live. This is the short part. This physical life that we have is the short part of eternity. You know what the Lord really laid on my heart and He laid on my mind when I was saying this? Yes, Lord, but it's hard. It's these things that we face, and it's just like, Lord, is it worth it? Is it worth it to try to battle these things and deal with these things? And He said, just wait till eternity. If you can just wait. If you can just wait, if you can remain faithful, I'll show you how worthy or how worth it that it really is. You believe that this morning? The half has yet been told. It's easy to try to look at the finish line and you don't see it. And you say, I just give up. I can't do this. And you know what? That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to throw in the towel. Long-time Christian, if you've been saved a long time, he's really wanting you to throw in the towel, because us young-time Christians will say, look, they couldn't do it either. Might as well throw in the towel and quit. If we knew how close we are to that finish line, nobody here would want to quit. Because you're talking about eternity, Brother Dale. You're talking about forever and ever and ever. If we can hold on, and by God's grace and by His mercy, get this block of time right, and by standards of what the Lord would have us to do, I know we're not perfect, but if we can hold on and get this right, the next half is yet to be told. That's on the authority of God's Word. I want us to see that this morning. Don't forget that. This is our chance to be faithful to God in spite of what happens. And I'm not saying that's going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. But how much faith are we given until then? It's a time of remembrance. A time of reflection on where our lives was and what our lives could have been. It's a time of reflection this morning. Are you where you're supposed to be for the Lord? Are you doing for Him what He'd have you be doing? I know what that pressure feels like. I know what it feels like to
finally see it. You know, I was thinking about it like this, thinking about the ministry work and outside the ministry. Sometimes I feel like there's a lot of pressure to please people or to do this or to do that and try to do this. You've got to stay in the scope of what the Lord is talking about in the ministry. If you're trying to make people happy and please people, no work is going to work. It just don't happen. It's not going to be that way. But thank God, the way this is set up, we are to try to please Him and serve Him and see what He would have and follow Him through His ministry and His work. He's the one who's got it set up. It's a time of remembrance, thinking about again what Jesus Christ has done for us. You think about the cross. Look at it this way. You think about what He did for us on the cross. The sin debt that He paid that He knew that you and I could not pay. That's one thing out there that He could say, Lord or Father, I know that they can never do this. I will do that for them, but I will do no more. Well, He didn't say that, did He? The cross and what He did for us and allowing us a way of salvation, the cross is just the beginning for you and I. And then He said, I'll go with you to the end of the world. I will stay right there with you. I'll follow you all the way through. It's a time of remembrance where the Lord has brought us from and what He's brought us to. And when he's coming back, it's a time of celebration. But let this man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. I'll close with this morning. I want to read these last few verses before we begin the communion service. It says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. They were not taking the Lord's Supper seriously. They made it to another feast is what this church at Corinth had done. It was a carnal church. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. It's the time that we reflect on our life before God and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. I want to live for you. It's a time of remembrance. It's a time of reset. I've heard that mentioned this morning. I thank God for those times of rest and reset. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another, wait one for another. Again, it's in the spirit of unity. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together into condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. He was giving the order of the Lord's Supper here. But I'm going to stop here this morning before we partake of the Lord's Supper. But I want to ask you this morning, there's two things. Are you ready? Are you ready to partake of the Lord's Supper? And I want to know this morning, I want to ask, are you saved? Do you know if you're saved or not this morning? That's what this memorial service is about. You think a lot of times when we have funeral services or things like that, you'll hear the gospel preached. Sometimes that's the only time some people will ever be in church to hear the gospel. And some people get mad about that. Some people get mad, but this is another opportunity that you have this morning to hear the gospel, another chance that you have to accept Him this morning. If you will, stand with me. I'll ask Brother Nathan if you